do have papers for you this evening if you want to follow along with it. Caleb or Colin, somebody can hand one to you if you're wanting one, needing one. Luke chapter 8, verse 18, take heed therefore how you hear. Consider how you listen is the title of the main part, the series. Consider how you listen. Let's bow our head for prayer. Lord, we come to you this evening in need of your touch. I need your touch as speaker. We all need your touch as hearers. So we consider how we hear tonight, that we take heed how we listen. I pray that you would give us that anointing that is needed this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. We've been looking at this subject of being careful how we listen. First of all, we looked at the idea that we should expect God to speak. When we come to God's house, we expect God to speak to us. We expect God to be here. At least we should. We ought to come with an openness, a readiness to hear what God would have for us to hear. That God would speak to us personally. Church is not just a collective thing, it's a personal thing as well. Expect God to speak. Then we went on and talked about the next subject of admitting God knows better than me, or better than we do. That may be a tough thing, because sometimes, just to be quite honest, sometimes we see things, we know things, we understand things, and from that perspective, it's hard for us to think or to believe that God's really behind this. Because based on what we perceive and what we see or think or know, it just doesn't seem plausible. It just doesn't seem real that God would be behind it. But that's where we come in and rest in the fact that God knows better. Because more often than not, even though we think that we see a big picture or we understand the circumstances, more often than not, what we see and what we know is just a small fraction, a small portion of what in reality is going on. So we need to admit that God knows better than we do. Tonight we're going to look at a different area, as I'm sure you expected we would. We're going to look tonight at passive listening or active listening. Passive listening or active listening. John chapter 16, verse 13. Actually, it's just the middle part of that verse, but let me read the whole portion of Scripture there, that whole verse, not chapter, as I almost said, but verse. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He will guide you into all truth. Passive listening or active listening. If you're putting the two together, the title and the verse, you have any understanding of what the two words that are in the title, the two main words in the title mean, you probably are able to piece a little bit together that it's going to be difficult for God the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth if we are passively listening. How many times have you been listening to something or someone and you heard words, but you did not hear what they were saying? Maybe the kids are listening to Adventures in Odyssey or some other such story. Traveling down the road, it's easy for me to lose track of what is being said around me or what is being said on the stories, and somebody laugh about something and I have to bring myself, hey, what's so funny? Passive listening is simply when one comes to church and allows the flow of words wash over them. Passive listening is just simply allowing the flow of words to wash over them. Now, these words that would wash over us, they may come to us from the words of a song. I believe that Emily did a good job tonight in attempting anyway to bring us into a spirit of worship, a spirit of praise. But if we don't actively follow the lead, then it's just simply a washing over us. And we can sit here, even in the midst of singing, and the words mean nothing to us. Sometimes the flow of words that may come, not just from songs, they might come from someone's testimony. They may come from the preaching of the word. The flow of words may just wash over us as the preacher is preaching. I think it's from this idea of passive listening where the joke came from of the three hunters out hunting. I think you've heard it before. I think I've told you before. But the lawyer, the doctor, and the preacher were hunting. And a buck went by and they all three took their shots. And several yards later the buck fell. And the three went to investigate the deer and realized that there was one entry and one exit hole. So they could not determine who actually had shot the deer. So they called a conservation officer to come and help them determine whose deer it was. And so he came out and they all gathered around and the officer investigated. He looked over the deer and realized that there was one entry and one exit. And he stood up. He said, "I believe I know whose deer it was or whose deer it is." He said, "It belongs to the preacher." The lawyer and the doctor weren't convinced of it, and they were wanting to know how the CO, the conservation officer, could determine such a thing. And he looked at him and he said, "In one ear and out the other." Passive listening is that kind of listening, in one ear and back out the other. Now, this isn't something that we go home from and say the preacher was hard on us about, because that's not the case. But it's easy to be passive when we listen to somebody. My wife loves to read to other people, but she hates to be read to. She would rather, while somebody's reading, be passive in listening. Unless it's someone like Brother Tedrow reading. She likes to listen to him when it's his Wednesday night and he reads his stories. She can handle that. But when it comes to me trying to read, no, she wants to read it for herself. If I'm reading something to her, she comes and looks over my shoulder, and I don't like that. I just soon give it to her and let her read it. When I read something, she's passive. How often is it when we go to church or we come to church and because of whatever the circumstances, we become a passive listener, allowing the flow of words to wash over us? Now, the flow of words just might bring about a measure of comfort. While you're feeling the flow of words, you might be comforted, or it might even elicit a measure of emotional comfort. A little bit of emotional response. But the gravity of the words reaches no farther than the surface of those emotions. In other words, that once the church service is over and the last light has been extinguished, those words or the sound of those words are no longer being heard, but rather they've been forgotten. Therefore, the value of the words have been greatly diminished or greatly reduced. You see, active listening takes the words, the flow of words, and not just allows them to wash over us, but active listening takes the words and brings them right into the innermost, right into the heart. Active listening is when we focus our attention in on what is being said and what is being sung, and we focus on what is going on around us. As a matter of fact, it just came to me just now as I'm speaking that Destiny hit on it in her testimony this morning in regards to relationship to the song that we sang this morning, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. It's easy to get caught up, as she was saying, in the music rather than focus on the words. Active or passive listening? Passive listening can lead to the acceptance of teaching that is not truth. Perhaps it's just by little deviations. Not only just the church, but there's any group can be led astray simply because the listeners have not been actively involved in the listening to what is really being said. Passive listening can lead to the acceptance of teaching that is not truth. Let me give you an example. Some of you may not like the example, but I'm going to give it anyway because I believe that it's a real example. Is there a difference in your mind between the words surrender and commitment? I read an article some time ago of some people that had been taken through persecution. I'm not sure what country it came from, but it seems like it came from one of the African countries. I don't remember for sure. I wish I could locate the article because the article was talking about these two words and how so often commitment is talked about, so often commitment is brought to play in the foremost into the relationship with Jesus Christ. But in the article, they were saying that commitment can easily wane or actually dissolve in the midst of persecution. Some might say that the definition here, or the definitions between these two, or in these two words, is the differences in these two words is minuscule. And yet, when we really stop and look at these two words in relation to what God has to say or what He wants out of His followers, we would soon realize that as good as commitment sounds, commitment is not surrender. What does commitment mean? Commitment means or has to do with allegiance, loyalty, and dedication. Now, that sounds good, doesn't it? In order to be a disciple of Christ, a follower of Christ, we have to give Him allegiance, we have to give Him loyalty, we have to be dedicated. But surrender has really a deeper meaning, a deeper sense, in that surrender has to do with being resigned or yielded, or ceded, ceding, C-E-D-I-N-G, ceding, giving up. Some people think in surrender, or resigned in surrender, has to do with a depressive aspect. This is not a depressive side to surrender. This is a positive side to surrender, a surrendering, a yielding of ourselves, a ceding of self to the full control of Jesus Christ as Savior. That's what surrender is. So while they both sound good, they both are good, in actuality, being a part or a part of being a disciple is that surrender is a surrender of the whole will of my will to His will. A surrender to the whole counsel of God. And I believe that that is more important, more base in the area of a discipleship plea from Christ than what commitment is, even as good as commitment sounds. So I get a little concerned when someone will focus entirely on this word commitment and say nothing about surrender, or they say nothing at all about the abandonment of self. You know, Jesus very clearly told us it's more than just commitment. It's a surrender. He said, "He that is not willing to give up everything to follow me." Jesus said that we must be, or Paul said it, but I believe that it comes from Christ, that we need to be a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. It's a surrender. And so when we talk about passive listening and active listening, you see, somebody can very easily begin to slip some small devious changes or just real little incremental changes into our theology that will eventually take us to places, if we are passively listening, to where we get somewhere and then we look back and say, well, how did we get here? How did we ever get to this point? Let me go to another example. This example is not, it has nothing to do with the doctrines of the church. It has nothing to do with those principles that govern us from Scripture. It's just a simple thing to show how passive or active we may be. Two Sunday mornings ago, I mentioned about the high priest who went behind the veil of the temple into the most holy place. As I was mentioning very quickly the circumstances, I used a bit of information that is apparently accepted, but in realistic biblical point of view, it's not there. Can anybody, there's two people that I know of that know what I'm talking about. Does anybody else know? I think Edward caught it, and I know Wilma caught it. What did I say that wasn't scriptural? Talking about the high priest. Help me out. Are you all active listeners or passive listeners? See how easy it is? I made mention very quickly about the high priest going back behind the veil into the Holy of Holies, and he had a rope tied around his ankle. That is not Bible. That's an accepted belief, I think. It's something that I've been told. I believe that commentaries will mention, certain ones mention it. I talked to Gerald Montgomery about it this past week or the week before after I said that. And I said, "Gerald, have you ever heard that?" And he said, "Yeah, I have." And so he told me where he just recently heard it. And it was a big production that he saw, some kind of a play of sorts. And they had it even in that play. Now, that's not a big issue. Not a real big issue, but you see how passive and active we can be in our listening, where the preacher can say something and, oh, wait a minute, where did he get that? When we listen passively, we probably will not be affected as deeply by the passage and the message as what we could be if our listening were active. Isn't that true? Passive, we're just allowing the flow of words to wash over us. But active listening, we're taking the words right into the core of our being, into the heart. We could be asking ourselves these questions. Is the preacher saying what the passage is saying? Does the preacher really preach what the Bible says, or is he just reading a verse of Scripture and then he makes it say whatever he wants it to say? Let me give you another example, full of examples tonight. I recently heard of a preacher who was preaching about Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, you know, ran, I presume he ran to the sycamore tree. He wanted to get ahead of the people and climb up into that tree, get ahead of the press, and get ahead of everybody to where he could see Christ. That was his goal. Now, I suppose there's a lot of things that we could bring into that he had to get in front of people. He had to get past people. He had to get past this and he could, in order for him to see Christ, because he had so many limitations. And his main limitation was that he was short. He was small of stature. I think everything in the message may have been going well, but it went awry. It went bad. Some of you don't know what awry means. It went bad when the preacher began to insert all kinds of things that Zacchaeus had to get past that were engraved in the bark of the tree as he climbed up. Now that really, it makes for some good topical preaching. Makes for some good topical preaching. But folks, we really don't have to get past things to see Christ. We don't really have to get past things to meet Christ. Did Zacchaeus have to get past his errors of being a tax cheat before he saw the Lord? No. No, he didn't. The deal of his error of being a tax cheat didn't come to him until after he met Christ. And then the error of his ways came bearing down upon his conscience. So we, as preachers, let me talk to myself here. We have to be very careful of how much we read into a passage of Scripture and say that Zacchaeus had to get past this and he had to get past that, and it was all engraved into the tree, and he could not reach the next limb until he got past this engraving. You know something? As bad as the internet potentially is, we do not have to get past the potential dangers of the internet until we meet Christ, and then His presence convicts us of whatever might be there or whatever it is in your life. We should be asking ourselves the question, where did the preacher get that from? Now, I'm not suggesting that you ask how well or how badly did the preacher preach in terms of communication skills. But as you follow in the Scripture, you are following along to ensure that the message of that Scripture is getting unpacked and that it is being processed and pressed right home to the heart. That's the kind of active listening that I'm suggesting tonight when I suggest that you ask the question, where did the preacher get that from? Is the truth of his message being unpacked for me? Is it being pressed home to my heart? Now, you have to understand here that I am preaching myself into a possible corner. Because active listening is a person, or is when a person participates in the service. That participation means following the Scripture reading, looking up additional references as time would allow, hears what is said, and allows it to actively register in the mind. Some people have said after a service that they didn't hear such thing, such and such. You know, I thought you were going to say this. You know, maybe it was an announcement or something. But I did mention it. It was said, but due to some kind of a hang-up somewhere, the active listener switched over to being passive. One time in a revival meeting in Evansville, Brother Mitchell was preaching. Now, I don't know how you can get so passive when you're listening to Brother Mitchell, but that's my point of view, and you may have a different point of view, and that's fine. I love to hear Brother Mitchell preach. somebody was, one of the congregation, one of the leaders of the church, in listening to Brother Mitchell preach, Brother Mitchell mentioned something in passing that was kind of a touch-and-go situation for us at the church. It was an issue that we were dealing with and struggling with, and it was somewhat creating a little bit of an upheaval. He didn't understand, Brother Mitchell didn't understand what we had faced or we had gone through and any of that stuff, but in passing as he preached, he just mentioned it. Well, this leader in the church heard him mention it and heard from the words that he said that it was going to hurt our situation. He thought it was going to hurt me in particular in dealing with the situation. And so for the rest of that service and the next service and the following service, he sat on Brother Mitchell. He was a very passive listener. It was so much so that Brother Mitchell came to me and he said, "What is wrong with Brother so-and-so? It feels like," I said, "I know he for some reason is sitting on you and I do not know why." And he said, "Yes, it's really hard to preach because of it. You know, when one person sits on you here, it's not that big of a deal. But when you have 30 people and one person sits on you, it's a little bit easier to feel." So I went to this brother and I said, "What's wrong?" And so he told me, and I said, "Oh, you have allowed that to create a problem in your thinking to where you've sat on the services for two whole services plus." So we don't have room. It very well may be that we could be the key to a service. And when we switch over from being an active listener to a passive listener to where something has hindered us or caught us and drawn our thinking away, it might be that we have created a problem in the midst of the listening aspect of other people. I may not feel it as much as I would in a smaller congregation, but it's still there. Active listening is when a person participates in the service, follows the scripture reading, looks up additional references, hears what is said and allows it to actively register in the mind, and do our best not to allow things to switch us from an active to a passive. Someone may say that it would take a genius or a theologian to be always an active listener, but in order to be active in our listening, we just have to bring our mental faculty into a focused role of active listening. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be a theologian. Just bring the mental faculty that is given to you into a focused role of active listening. As I mentioned earlier, we can listen to the Adventures of Odyssey with passive listening. We can listen to the news with passive listening. We can even listen to the wife with passive listening. But we dare not come to God's house and have passive listening. If we truly believe what we say we believe, and the preacher is God's man preaching God's word, he stands in the sacred, behind what used to be called, and ought to be still called, the sacred desk, delivering God's message, proclaiming God's word, then we must do our best. We must give our best effort to be active in our listening. Christopher Ashe said, "It is the work of God, by His Spirit, to open our minds so that we listen clearly, think clearly, discern clearly whether a sermon is true to the Bible." And so, when we come to the preaching of God's Word, that's why it is imperative that not only do we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the preacher, but we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit on the hearer. Be careful how you listen. Passive listening or active listening? Now let me see how many active listeners there are tonight. You can pray as Martin Luther used to pray, "Lord, teach me." Somebody's active. Teach me. That's right. He will guide us into all truth. But it's going to come from that spirit within us that says, Lord, teach me. And then I become active to hear what He has to say. Let's stand together this evening. Open my ears, Lord. I want to hear. God help us to always to do our best to be active in our listening. I realize that there are times, sometimes more often than we would care to admit, that because of the circumstances of the week past or the day, maybe moments before service, something has bombarded our mind to where we struggle to be active. And I'm not trying to be hard on people that struggle with that because of those kinds of circumstances. Simply encourage us to do our best to be active in our hearing in order for Him to teach us. He wants to guide us into all truth. Thank you for your attendance and attention today. The Lord bless you. Give you a good week. Praise God. Praise God. Vicki, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?